share the word of God presented first this morning in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Next, from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 and 13. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not. Second reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. Morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that y'all will not grow weary. Praise be to God, the word of the Lord.
Now, whenever I'm here, prepared to correct him for you all. I wanted you to understand that it was plural. That's actually a plural genitive in the Greek. But we can go over that for hours later if you wish. But it is a call to togetherness. Before we pray out, I just was thinking of the two verses before Hebrews 12 that probably would have been better divided. These two verses, meeting at the front of Hebrews 12 and Hebrews 11, you have all the heroes of faith. And at the end of that, it says, "There were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." And again, it's the togetherness of faith. It's the continuum of faith. It's the faith that was in your great-grandma or grandfather or father or old teacher. It's the continuum of faith that sets up the race. And we'll look at that after we go to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heard your holy word, speak through your word, speak through me with power, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to start off in a more traditional mode of sermon, and then I want to shift to a video. As I was working through this sermon, I saw a video that was a parable. Parable, essentially like a picture story of what you need to understand. And the picture story did it better than I could. So, if you can't beat them, join me. So we'll come to that in a minute. But first of all, it says, "Therefore, since the continuum of faith has begun and is the
ones by faith surround us. Like a great cloud, like a huge cloud, we are surrounded by those who have lived and died and suffered and rejoiced in faith. They surround us and they beckon us for the best that is possible. It's almost like a grand amphitheater of the saints of God, past and present, surrounding us as we run this race. Now notice it said, therefore, since, what's the next word? We are surrounded. We. Now, I was reading this passage. I preached on this passage a bunch of times. I preached on this passage here before. But what I really liked is I was studying it a little bit further. It says, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Then it goes on, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners that you all will not grow weary. It is flat out consistent that it is an us race. It's a you all race. It's a race that we run together. And to miss that point is to functionally lose track of what God intends for the race. I ran cross country when I was a youth. There were five runners in our particular state of how they do the HD, and five runners. If you had four runners finish first, second, third, fourth, and the fifth runner didn't finish, you know what happened? You lost. You were last because it was the score of the five. And the failure of the five to finish was a failure for the whole team. The race of faith is an us race. It's a you all race. It's a we race. And so, Paul took the Hebrews to say this to us. We're surrounded by the witnesses, and they're part of us. It would be like playing a Hall of Fame game. I love to watch the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, and you see all these guys in their jackets. And the person that's joining feels, wow. Everybody sits down and they say, wow, I'm a part of you all. And that's pretty awesome. I'm a part of you all. I'm a part of Calvin and Luther and Wesley and St. Francis. Billy Graham. I'm a part of you all. And I could point to ones of you who have seen your faith alive, and I'm a part of you all, because I run the race that we together are called to do. And it says, let us throw off anything that hinders, anything in the way, anything that just gets in the way of who running? Us. Have you ever? I ran competitively when I was younger. When we would get a new runner, he would have very fancy, those of you that got the really running suit. I really love to see if the person can run other than look pretty. And we throw off anything that's just about looking pretty. Could you imagine people would come to church and a major concern is how they look for others? Of course, that wouldn't happen here. But can you imagine that we would run a race where if something I was planning didn't succeed, and other things succeeded, I would be unhappy?
it's an us race. And the fact that others are being used of God is a privilege for me to be part of that us race. You know, as a pastor here, it's always been more a priority to me how you grow in faith and how you live out your faith than how I look to be living out my faith. It's an us race. And so we're called to run with perseverance, to throw up anything that gets in the way of it being us. But that's so important. And the race isn't over until we do it. And it says the race that is run with perseverance. And we'll get that in the fruit of the Spirit down the road. But perseverance, it's not just to sit down and wait patiently in this form of the Hebrew. It is the determination, perhaps unhurrying, and yet on the way, which goes steadily on and refuses to be deflected from heading towards our Lord, towards living out our faith. It's not about us unless it's about us. It says the race marked out for us. There are boundaries, there are limitations. There is a race track, and we're called to function within the path that Scripture calls us to, within the life we're called to. The cool side meaning of the word marked out for us. It could actually, one of the translations in the Greek word there, is it could be the race that we were destined for. The race of our destiny. Our destiny is not a finish line, though we run towards the finish line. Our destiny is to walk with God and to walk with God as us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. The one who starts and the one who runs with us and the one that is at the finish line of this life and the starting life that awaits. Now, we're going to turn down the highlights. So you could say there were no highlights in this sermon. And I want you to watch this because it really is a parable. And I may call them ever so briefly as we go along just to make a point. This is a middle school for a race day. They do it once a year. Off they go. They know how to run a race with perseverance, with our eyes fixed on Christ, who suffered all so it would be us. They know how to encourage one another, and they do. And there's never enough of that in the Christian church. In John, we have the mark of a Christian. If we have loved one to another, by this shall all people know that they are my disciples. Not how fast they run, but how lovingly together. The race is not over because we complete a portion and we did our part. Well, I've already done my part, Pastor. Part of the race is encouraging one another. I'd like to call the Peru team up. By the way, you don't have to go to Peru to be part of the Peru team. But we do have to realize that they're part of and celebrate when they come back with the fact that someone in Peru is encouraged and loved. If we're not encouraged by the fact that they grow from what happens, then we don't have any concept of a race. And what kind of race is it? Stop before the door. Stop. Okay. Now, those of you that are able, let me see if it's stand up and move this way. We're going to join hands. If you can't, and someone's seated, just wave hands to the people that are seated and put your hands on these people and join hands. That's cool. Does everybody have someone joining hands? Now, by the way, we live in a modern society, and those up in the balcony, you can do this wireless. Because it's about us, and us includes the Lord, Father, Son, and Spirit, and each of us as we journey together. Let us pray. God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much that you went through all the agony. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us and you empower us. And we pray that your blessing would go with each of these members of the Peru team. All of us, those who go and those who remain as a team member in prayer, as a team member of encouragement, team member of support. Go with them, fill them with your Spirit. Help them to solve each other.